Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. Tonight, I have a special guest who will be calling in shortly, John Del Grosso. He's written a book that he'd like to talk about. It's called Renewing the Image of God. John is a spiritual director. He is a marriage and family counselor. He's also a pastor, as well as an author, of course, and a father, and so he can speak from many different perspectives. And let's start the show now with a scripture verse from Hebrews 4:16. In Hebrews 4:16, we are told, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If any of you are experiencing a great time of need right now, this is a good time to listen in to the show. Again, my guest is going to be John Del Grosso. He'll be calling in very shortly. And later in the show, I'm going to be reading one chapter from the Bible. I'm going to read today from Romans chapter 12. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to read along with us, or listen if you don't have a Bible. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, a neighbor, and invite them to listen into the show as well. We will pray later for our country, for our children, for our leaders, and for the future of our country and for the next generation, our children. Thank you for tuning in again. I hope you'll listen in every Thursday from 7 to 8. We will have a variety of different guests on, pastors, other authors, chaplains and missionaries, women in leadership, a variety of different people, some young musicians and singers, our worship teams as well. And so I'm sure you'll be very interested to hear what John has to say. That's John Del Grosso. Really, we will have a good connection so that he can get through and we'll be able to discuss some things with him regarding his book, what he has written about. His book, again, is called Restoring God's Image. And the title of our show tonight is Renewing the Mind and Healing the Body, which has a great deal to do with renewing our minds in the Word of God. I wonder if any of you listening have had some experiences in life with just everyday stress and strain, anxiety and worries, and as a result have experienced physical illness, pain of some type. Did you ever consider the fact that those things are related, and that sometimes the first thing we should do is pray to God to ask for help rather than waiting till the last thing, till we don't know what else to do, and then to pray? The Lord is always there for us. He tells us throughout the Bible, He will never leave us. He's always with us. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, and yourself tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you be a guest on the Sword and Shield Show.
Oh, love to be here. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. I'm having some technical difficulties still with the site.
Okay.
And so I'm very happy that you were able to get through. I saw that you tried calling just a minute ago and dropped off. So thank the Lord. All right, then. So
Amen.
How is your day going?
Oh, my day's going well. Spent the day with my wife and daughter at the beach, and it was a very nice, relaxing day.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Very good. Oh,
yeah.
All right, then. So, John, I was just saying that you have written a book that we would like to talk about, and it's called Restoring God's Image. I also mentioned that in addition to being a husband and father, you are a marriage and family counselor, so you are a spiritual director, you're a mentor as well, and a pastor. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say tonight about why you wrote the book and how we can relate that to how we can relate renewing our minds and the Word of God and healing the body. So I'd like to ask you first, how did you come to know the Lord?
I was about 29 years old, and I was living in New Orleans, and previously it was in New Orleans for about 9 years, and had graduated from college, and that didn't work out. My career didn't work out, so I ended up in New Orleans, and I ended up living on Bourbon Street. Taking advantage of all the carnality that somebody could take advantage of, unfortunately. And I had an experience when I was 18 or 19. A girlfriend at the time, who was a senior in high school, and I was a freshman in college. She went to a retreat at a Catholic church. And I was really impressed by how she was touched by it. And so at the age of 19, I went to this retreat. And I could probably say that's where the Holy Spirit touched me first. It was pretty incredible. And I pretty much cried the whole weekend. And I still have the little book from it. And A lot of scripture and things like that. But when we left, nothing had really. There was an experience, but then after we left, there was no follow up. There was no follow up by the church or the priest there or anything like that. And so for the next 10 years, I knew there was something missing in my life, and I think I figured that out there. But no one really told me what that was, and. So about for the next, I'd say, 10 years, I really went to college in Dayton, Ohio, graduated there, ended up in New Orleans, and was pretty successful and made a lot of money in different ventures. But I was really just depressed and unfortunately got into everything I could possibly get into. That was of the flesh over a period of years. And so what I realized is I had this experience with the Holy Spirit, but after that, the enemy just came to destroy me. And it wasn't until about till I was 29 years old and was just out seeking for something, I ended up in South Lake Tahoe working as a breakfast chef in a restaurant, and one of the waitresses, they'd come in every day, and they would just say, "What's the scripture for the day?" And they'd give the scripture for the day, and they'd talk to one another, and they seemed pretty happy, and within a few days of me being there. I started talking to the young lady, and I had other things in mind. I didn't have Jesus in mind, that's for sure. But she invited me to come hiking with her, and we'd go hiking, and she would just read the Word of God, and got me reading the Word of God, after a couple weeks of that, she'd invited me to a church, her church, and it was a little church called now it's called the Tahoe Christian Fellowship. It's an excellent church. Terry Edwards is the pastor up there, and he's been a pastor there for a long time. But at the time it was called the Church of Glad Tidings, And it was a little country church right there on the main strip in South Lake Tahoe. So she invited me to this church, and it was I think it was a Wednesday night service. But I said, sure, you know, I'm game. I'm Catholic. I know how to I've prayed before. I know what that looks like. And that's exactly what went through my mind. And so we walked into this church, and she said, well, meet me there about 6:30. And I had just gotten off of work. I worked all day. I was just all, you know, full of greasy and stuff from the grease. I didn't even get a chance to go home and change or anything. So I walk in there, and she takes me up into this room, and we walk into this room. She opens up the door, and it's just like it's maybe about a, I don't know, 16 by 20 room. It's the top of this church. And she walks in, and as we walk in, there's just people praying all over the place, and who's kneeling down, who's praying, and I know it now, but then they were, some people were praying in the spirit, some people were praying in English, some people were praying in tongues, and as soon as we walked in, the door shuts, and she just disappears on me, and I'm like, oh. I'm looking around, I said, where'd she go? And, you know, and I'm just standing there, and I went, okay, praying. And I thought, well, I know what that looks like. I've prayed, you know. I grew up, I was in Catholic high school, well, Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, Catholic college. So I know what prayer is. And so I just stopped, and I just kind of, okay, and I just kind of, well, Lord, I don't know what they're doing, but. And before I could even open my mouth, I just heard this voice, and it was like, it was almost audible. I mean, if I didn't know better, I would have said it was audible, but it was so resounding inside of me. And I just heard the Lord say, welcome, I've been waiting for you.
Oh my God. I know you told me that before.
Yeah, it just broke me. It just broke me. Everything inside of me, I mean, I was in such bondage in my life, sexual bondage and bondage to drugs and bondage to every, you know, and I was looking and I was searching, and I'd been through, I was living in Southern California, short before that, after I left New Orleans, came out to Southern California, lived with my aunt. I left there because I just couldn't do the work anymore. I was doing, I was depressed, And I got to Southern California, and I searched everything. I talked to people in Dianetics, talked to people in Mormonism, and so when I finally got up there, I was just searching, and it was just boom. It was like something shattered inside of me. It was wonderful, you know. It was just and I knew that it was the Lord, and I knew that it was, I was free, and. So that night I went down, and they had the service, and the pastor at the end of the service, who was there preaching, he says, you know, your hands are sweating, and you know the Holy Spirit's moving on you, and how you know it's the Holy Spirit is your hands are sweating and all this stuff, so come on up and give your life to Jesus. And of course I didn't, because at that point I was like, what's going on with me? And so I didn't do it, and so I went out, and that next day. I went to a thrift shop, and looking for, and it was a little black little Bible. This thing was like 50 years old, but it was just a little Bible. And man, I could not stop reading it. I just was like, you know, I was just reading and reading and reading and reading it. And I would go to sleep, and from that Wednesday, from Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, all I kept hearing over in my voice, over inside of me, over and over, was, receive Jesus, receive Jesus, receive Jesus. It was like somebody was playing a tape recorder over and over and over and over. So Sunday came, and I was ready. You know, so I got up from work, and I ran to church, and I was ready. And I got there first before everybody else, and I'm sitting there, and this was a Sunday night, because in the morning I worked. So it's Sunday night service, and I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and then and I'm waiting. Okay, I can't wait till they give the you know, I knew they were going to give it again, you know, and then they didn't do it. And I was like, and everybody leaves, and I'm just sitting there going, what is going on here? And so 3 days, so they invite me to a Bible study during the week, and it's they didn't have the Wednesday. I think it was like 2 days later or something, and they were having at the beach at South Lake at Lake Tahoe. We got out there, and it was the wind was crazy. It was so windy, so they pulled it into the person's house, and we got there, and they're just going around in a circle, and they're just like, you know, they're just, you know, giving their testimonies, right? And I thought, well, okay, I could do this. So I raised my hand, and I just told them the story I just told you, you know. And yeah. I was like, you know, and I'm kind of like, I'm sitting there going, well, you know, and I was ready to receive Jesus, and you know, and nothing happened. And so I give this testimony, and I think they were shocked, right? Because, you know, I wasn't your typical, I guess for them, I wasn't your typical thing. I was this New York guy, you know, that was, they called me GQ. They made fun of me because I would, you know, I would dress to the T, you know, I'd have this look and, you know, and I got up there, you know, and I got up there and I don't think they were expecting it, but I remember sitting there and I like, and they said, okay, the meeting's over. We're going to have, what do you call it? And I remember the meeting in the corner. My friend, this is my spiritual father, I call him, Peter, and a couple other. And they're talking in the corner. They're looking at me, and they're talking. And then he comes over. He says, would you like to receive Jesus? I said, yes. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And that happened. That happened, and then within it, I don't know if it was the same night or if it was a couple nights later that they had the next meeting at that house. I was the Lord just was on me, and I went upstairs. I just went upstairs because I didn't know what was happening to me, and all I could the Holy Spirit was just. I mean, I could just hear these words just speaking into my mind and my heart, and I just started writing them down. So immediately he began to just, you know, prophesy and speak to me and give me, and I think the first, that Sunday after I got saved, there was, somebody says, well, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? I said, I don't know what that is. And they said, well, this is what happens after you get saved. Now you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, sure. How do I do that? And they just said, well, just, you know, just ask to receive the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, how does that come out? You know, and they said, well, just begin to babble. And I said, well, I don't know what that looks like. And they said, well, just say she rode a Honda three times. She rode a Honda. She rode a Honda. She rode a Honda. But and I said, oh, sure, if that's the way it works. So I tried it, and by the end of it, I was speaking in tongues. And then the church service came, and they had the service. And in the middle of the service, I'm like, all of a sudden, I just felt this thing well up. And I just, you know, I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I walked up to the front and I said, they had a microphone, and I just began to sing in the Spirit, and the whole church just kind of joined right in, and it was just amazing. It was just amazing 2 weeks, you know, and it was just great. The Lord just delivered me out of so much stuff initially. Now, what I found out afterwards was when you have a miraculous delivery, you got to go back and catch up, because you may have had this miraculous delivery, but you know, your mind and your heart and the things you believe and the things you grew up with and all that stuff still needed to catch up. So, you know, you can get a miracle, but then you got to go back later and do some of the work, or you can do some of the work ahead of time and then, you know, get free. So, what began to happen is, shortly afterwards, about a few months in, I was living with two guys, and people would come to our doorstep and just kind of knock on the door, and they would come and would you pray? And we'd start praying for them. And I started getting pictures in my head and started seeing things, like, and I didn't know they were kind of visions, but also then, as far as healing, being able to have words of knowledge and for people, and I didn't know what it was, but I said, okay, I guess this is what happened. And,
so word of knowledge and word of wisdom.
Yeah. So, you know, word of knowledge is knowing something maybe about the person that you couldn't know.
Yes.
Unless it's by revelation. Word of wisdom, knowing stuff about the word and about the person's situation and how the word of God restored it without really being able to really understand how it fits together. And so that began to happen in this little group. And it was just three guys, and so then we didn't know, even know what that meant, and then we found out later there was a course coming through by a man named John Wimber, which was Signs and Wonders, and we began to be able, and then somebody called John and Paul in Sanford, they'd be able to start to put some kind of understanding around some of this stuff. And so, you know, my heart was always for, you know, to help people to hear the voice of God, you know. And over the years, it's been really to be able to bring people into the thing where they can hear the Holy Spirit. They can sense His presence, but not only sense His presence, but hear His voice. And that it becomes very simple. And so what my book was about was that as a therapist, and the reason we came into therapy was after 3 years, I moved out to Southern California in 88, I think it was, something like that, the end of 87. And shortly afterwards, my wife and I met. We were married about 6 months later. We were friends until about 6 months later. Then we decided to get married. 30 days later, we were married. We had both had previous marriages, so we just knew that, you know, we weren't going to wait. We weren't going to fall into sin. It was better to marry than to burn. But we both had a heart for people, and both had a heart to see people get set free. So we moved to Kansas City and worked in an inner city mission. And when we were there, we were learning inner healing and praying for people and for inner healing, and we had some connection with healing of the body, but not as much as healing of emotions and feelings and those things. And we started working in a mission in the inner city called Reconciliation, and women started coming there who were being brought in who had gone through ritualistic sexual abuse, physical abuse, satanic ritual abuse, things like that. And we found ourselves way over our head. But the Lord was good, and he brought a psychologist in to help us with some of that. Also, some people who were dealing with things like what they called back then DID or dissociative identity disorder, and we were just recognizing we were in these spiritual battles against demonic forces. And for years of living in that inner city mission, I decided, you know what, this is where God's taking me. I'm going to go back and to school, and so I started looking for a school. I started my program for my master's degree in counseling at the University of Missouri, but that didn't go too far because I couldn't talk about my love, who was Jesus, because every time you brought up religion, they would say, well, we can't do that in here. We don't talk about that kind of stuff here. And I said, so I knew I needed to find a place where I could. My wife's family lived out here in California. Came out here, went to a little school called Trinity College of Graduate Studies, which is no longer open now. They've now become, I think they're now the Trinity Law School here in California.
Oh,
and that's where
really?
I did my, yeah, and that's where I did my master's degree in California. And it was wonderful because it was led by a priest and an elderly lady, and they had social workers. They were training social workers, but then they went to training marriage, family, and child therapists. And it was wonderful because we could bring scripture and everything. I could begin to bring everything in line with scripture. So at some point in my life, when I was very depressed, and this was back in 2004. I was very, very depressed. My wife, we tried to join a community back in Texas that was a community of just people living together and doing life together. Didn't work out. I was very depressed, and God says, okay, we're going to start dismantling things for you. We're going to start bringing, you've been working with all these people for years. It's time to let me heal you. And I said, well, Lord, you know, what's the deal? And the Lord says, well, you know why you're a therapist, don't you, John? And I'm like, no. And he says, because you think everything's your fault. You grew up believing everything was your fault. You believe everything was, you know, that your family problems were your fault, and you didn't feel loved. You didn't feel this. So you're trying to compensate for that. He says, but I don't want that anymore. He says, what you're doing is harming you, because you're doing it in your strength. Now do it in my strength. And so that, and he said, and that's when he said, now I want you to write this book. And it took about, that was 2004. I didn't really start writing it till 2000, maybe 8 or 9. And so the book, Restoring God's Image, is it's about how, for Christian people, we cannot depend on secular psychology. Secular psychology, humanistic psychology, comes from an initial precept, which says that all things are internal from the person, that everything arises from in the person, and not from a spiritual basis. So, because they don't believe in spirit, so they don't believe in demonic spirits, they don't believe in the spirit of God, the people who, you know, created a lot of this psychology. And
right.
So when they're dealing with somebody, they're looking at the person has to somehow, in his own strength, you know, change his mind, change what he's thinking, change what he's feeling. Like I say in my book, it's like rearranging the deck. It's rearranging the chairs on a Titanic, but it's the chairs, the thing's still going down. But for a believer, it starts from the premise of my new identity, which is my new identity is Christ living in me. And I'm a new man. My old man is dead. Now, yeah, I still have the habit of sin, but that sin nature is dead. It was brought into the grave, and now I'm a new person, and that new person is Christ living inside of me. So Adam and Eve lost the image of God. It says they were created in the likeness of God. They lost the image of God at the fall. It then said that with Seth, that man was now created in his own image, or man's image. And they stopped seeking God, and it took the second Adam, which is Christ, to come and now restore the Spirit of God in us, and now is his very life is living in us. So now we have been restored, believers, back, it says, to the likeness of God. He says, you put on the new man, or the new self, which is in the likeness of God, having been created. That means, At the time I said yes to the Lord, I was recreated. I became a new person. Jesus was the first born from the dead. I am now, you and me and all the others are the second born from the dead. I'm probably, I don't know what number I am in line, but it doesn't really matter. but we're now reborn from the dead, and now it's His life living inside of us. So we have to attack or deal with this thing called psychology or change or healing from the idea that it except by the Holy Spirit, things cannot occur that need to occur. So I'm not trying to make the old man better. What I'm doing is the old man is dead, and now I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I still have some of these old beliefs in my brain that have been programmed there in my soul, and the flesh is hostile towards God, and my spirit now is brand new because I now have the true Christ in me through the Holy Spirit. But now I've got to bring my soul and my mind in line with my spirit. And so I need
That's
to be transformed
very, very, yes.
by
very,
the knowing
very
of the mind.
And I'm,
you know?
I'm sure so many people would love to hear a lot more about that. And especially considering one of the statements you made in the book. Just one, well, not the only thing, but so many things caught my attention. But I look back over this one particular line over and over again that says, Satan lied to Eve, and that lie inflicted emotional pain.
Yep.
And, oh, my goodness. You know, oh, my goodness. How true that is.
Well, yeah. You mean,
I think everybody.
Sure. She,
like
yeah, totally. She was deceived. And so, you know, what are some of the things she was deceived about? Well, she was deceived that she wasn't like God, that if she ate this fruit, she'd become like God. When that was a lie, she was already like God. So she was worthless. She was less than. She was deceived into believing that. And Adam just stood there and watched. I think, again, I can't prove this, but if you look at Scripture, you know, and that's what I like about the idea of God doesn't, the Holy Spirit isn't going to reveal anything like that's new, but He can help you to see new things called revelation. And we just got to be willing to maybe to look at it. But, you know, like for example, Adam, you know, it says that if you look at Hebrew literature, just things that do not set in, it's different than our Western way of thinking. Our Western way of thinking is very lineal. First is A, then is B, then is C, then is D. You know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, Hebrews don't think like that. They don't write like that. Yeah, they write and think according to like what's more important. So in one gospel you get, you know, Jesus is walking into town and curses the tree. On the other one, he's coming out of it. So there's different things like that. They're not against each other. They're just not necessarily perfectly in line with each other. That
right.
doesn't mean
and,
that they disagree with one another.
And I would relate that to, you know, as a matter of fact, my pastor was just teaching on this, or he touched on that in one of his sermons recently.
Yeah.
That, you
yeah.
know, can say the same thing from a different perspective. And, you know,
sure.
You know, watching an accident after the fact, questioning people who all witnessed
yes.
the same accident and getting, you know, a different story from each person. And it's very interesting that all these people are telling the truth. They saw things from a different perspective. On one
sure.
side of the street, someone might have seen more than the other person saw. And so a
yep.
third person coming along and say, no, that doesn't match. Somebody's not telling the truth. When in actuality, all four people who saw the accident from a different corner, they're all telling the truth. They saw things from a different perspective or saw more, one saw more than another, somebody saw less, you know, it's from a different angle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that they're not all telling the truth.
Well, and the reality of it with Scripture is that Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so each writer is speaking possibly to a different group of people. you know, Matthew is speaking to more Jews, where Luke is speaking to Gentiles. And so God is making certain, he's using certain writers to impress certain things. You know, one got Mark more of the, you know, the works and the miracles. He's looking at, he's relating it to, you know, from where Peter's point of view. Even simple things like, you know, when you look at the tribes of Israel and they talk about, they list the 12 tribes. Well, there's not 12 tribes, it's 13 tribes. Okay? Because the tribe of Joseph, that one tribe became Ephraim Manasseh at one point, so there became 13 tribes. So, and in some places where they're relating the generations, the generations from Abraham to David are 40, then 40 to, you know, 40 and 40. I think there's three 40s, but there's more than 40 generations, but they only include that because they're trying to make a point. The point is, the point that they're making is a spiritual application above that's more important necessarily than the physical specifics. And that drives Westerners crazy because we think lineal and we go, well, how does that work that way? You know? So I think, you know, so when we come back to healing, we want to put everything in a nice small box, but it doesn't work that way. You know, we want to, you know, I remember once I had an issue with a brother and in the Lord, and he had made a promise, but then he wasn't keeping his promise. And I went and I tried to, you know, go to him and said, you know, you didn't keep your promise, and I'm going to hold you accountable because you made this promise. And the reality was I was offended, and scripture says to go to your brother. And if you're offended, and make it right with him. Well, and if he doesn't want to make it right, then take another, right? I went to an older gentleman who was a mentor of mine, and I said, you know what? There's a problem here. And he said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, the problem is he's not keeping his promise to me. He says, well, why is that a problem? And I says, that's the problem because, you know, don't I have to keep him accountable for that? And he says, well, why don't you just forgive him? And I was like, well, no. I have to keep him accountable. He says, well, why do you want to live under the law, John? Why don't you live under God's grace? And I was like, and it was like, but no, but the word of God says this. And even that, so the heart is so important. And when I realized, man, that how I come in my life, even in spiritual things, is so much dependent on my experiences in my past and the way I was brought up and my personality and different ways that I approach life, and so it's very important that we have a dialogue with the Holy Spirit, because we may think it's going to work out a way, but the Holy Spirit may do something completely different. It's not going to be it's not going to be outside of Scripture. He's not going to come against Scripture. It's not going to be sin,
right.
But it will be implied in a way that brings life not only to the other person but to myself. And so it's very important. One of the things I teach is we have to have a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. We have to talk to the Holy Spirit. If me and the Holy Spirit are one, then who should I be talking to? Most people talk to themselves. And the problem is, according to Scripture, it says the self is dead, right? It says the old man is dead. But I want to talk to myself, and when I talk to myself isn't a nice guy. He puts me down, makes me feel bad about myself, and I'm like, why am I talking to myself for? I got to stop
John,
that.
I have the same problem. I have the same problem.
Yep.
I want to let you finish, and I want you to tie something in here.
So you have the problem. You have the problem of what? Talking to yourself?
Yes, and then.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Instead of listening for the, you know, the Holy Spirit to respond when I do.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. I don't always take the time to stop and be still and quiet. You know, listen for the Lord. Listen for a response. Listen for Him to put something on my heart. And I always want to hear what I want to hear. I've been going through that for the last 2 weeks. I just mentioned that to a friend at church last night. The Lord was leading me in this way, and I could say, no, Lord, that's not what I want to hear. But, you know, so I know what you're talking about when you're mentioning the flesh.
Sure.
You said the flesh
is dead. But the one thing about you, Catherine, is that, you know, I was saying this, the same thing to a person today. They were concerned about, you know, this is happening. I want to make sure I'm not disobedient to God. And but then they were getting confused and all this kind of stuff. I said, well, first of all, you got to recognize one thing. If you're concerned about you being disobedient to God, or like you, Catherine, if you're concerned about, you know, I'm not always listening, but that means that you care that you're not always listening. You care, and that's a goal in your life to listen. Then you got to realize, man, you're very different than most of the people out there. You're in a different class than probably 90% of the Christians out there, because 90% of Christians don't try to develop a relationship with God to where they're hearing His voice. Okay, now I'm talking about, you know, but I'm not necessarily talking about spirit-filled charismatic Christians, but Christianity overall. And so when we begin to realize, wow, God is important to me, then that's like, yeah, then I am going to struggle, because I have an enemy who's seeking who we can devour, who's trying to pull. He knows, he's watched my life. He sees the game tapes. He knows all my issues, and he's always trying to flip those switches on me.
Yeah.
And that's why we need one another so much. But that's exactly why I wrote the book, is to have people begin to recognize we have to come into a dialogue with God, and not try to be healed by psychological means, and then turn into be people being, you know, taking medication. I love just a talk I just heard by Dr. Tony Evans, where he talks about how people when they're taking medication, what ends up happening is it messes up their thinking. It affects
that same sermon, John.
Yeah.
It was within the last two weeks.
Just within the last 2 weeks, it affects the clarity. It was in a thing called the Armor of God. Excellent series. And it affects their clarity, and therefore they're not able to resist and push out the enemy. And it gives the enemy a place and a stronghold in their life. And I'm not saying people should just jump off of medication, but I believe there should be, once they start to hear the voice of God and be delivered from these things, there should be a place of moving off of that, because that's a trap. But again, can we trust the Lord and His ability and His capabilities and His faithfulness to make those changes in our lives? And I believe we can, but it's not an easy situation, because there's so much in our culture that's against our thinking. That's against trusting God completely.
That's very true. There's a great deal of truth in what you just said, and I'd like to continue that. I hope you will come back another time. Will you be a guest on the show again, so we could talk more and really get more into this? And wonderful. Okay.
Yeah, and
thank you so much.
I'd love it that if we can open up an opportunity, if we get some people calling in, and we can even spend a little time bits of praying with people to open up some
of the
stuff for them. All right.
Yes, I do want to have a prayer line. I want to be able to take prayer requests, and I already have several groups of people who are willing to be prayer warriors, to pray over people's prayer requests. And so, you know what? I'm going to read one chapter from the Bible, which is what I normally do. And since we were talking about, I wanted to have you talk about your book and renewing the mind and Christ Jesus and that mind and body connection. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. And I'd like to say a little prayer. I wonder if you would stay on while I read, and then would you like to lead the prayer, inviting people to receive Christ Jesus if they will. All right, then.
Sure.
Let me just get ready here. And if anyone is listening and has a Bible, I do hope that you will open up your Bible and read along with us, and John will pray and lead anyone who is willing, who is agreeable, in a short prayer as soon as I finish reading and just before we end the show. And so now, Lord, dear Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, because we submit ourselves to you wholly and completely, Lord God, knowing that Satan must flee from us, I pray, Lord, that you protect us from all the voices and visions and all the emotions, Lord God, and all the impressions and all the distractions that are not of you. Please help us to understand your holy scriptures, Lord Jesus, and apply them to our daily lives. And so now I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Amen. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will reap heavy coals. You will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the word of God directly from the Bible.
Amen.
And now, John, we're told that the word of God, the scriptures, have the power to save. And John,
yep.
I'd like you to pray from your heart and invite people to receive the Lord.
It was interesting because I opened up, the thing that struck me was right before chapter 12, there's a doxology, and it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment, paths are beyond finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever.
Amen.
And for the people that are listening, for the people that belong to him, and for those of you that don't know him, I remember that day when I sat there and someone was reading scripture and something was tugging in my heart. The Lord God was tugging in my heart. And he was saying, come to me. Come to me. I have something for you. And right
we're
here,
counting down.
Says,
we're counting down now. 1 minute
okay.
and 50 seconds left, John.
So, Lord,
sorry.
We
ahead,
ask
please.
You, Lord. We ask you. We ask you, Father, to come into our lives. We receive the work of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Jesus, that you paid for my sin. You paid for my sin that I can spend the eternity with God. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I thank you for the people that desire that and that will just let you come into their hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Yes. And now for all of you who are praying, asking Jesus to come into your heart, trusting by faith that Jesus died on the cross and paid the debt for your sins and that he rose again to give us eternal life, you should find a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible, just as we read it tonight. Be under the leadership of a pastor. Join people, other people who are studying the Bible. Read it and do what it says. Pray to the Lord Jesus from your heart every day and tell other people about Jesus so they can be saved too. And until next time, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't met him already. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Sword and Shield Show. I hope that you will join us again on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Thank you again so much, John, and I look forward to talking to you again. Good night,
thank
everyone.
You.
May God bless you. May God bless you. Good night.